You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonations might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
All right. Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. I got the Bad Boys here with me. It's good to see you fellas on our three counts. This is where we choose three stories this past week or so, take a look at them, discuss them, and get your thoughts on it. And if you happen to be online, you can let us know what your thoughts are on those topics as well. And hey, when we post it online, you can let us know in our social media what your thoughts on the topic as well. Let's start with our first count. This one is from CageSideSeats.com. And it's titled, "The U.S. Capitol Attack Took Its Toll on Pro Wrestling Viewership." And the story pretty much talks about the idea. First off, we know that you had two big shows going on, WWE NXT New Year's Evil, and you had AEW New Year's Smash going on. So a great night to start wrestling's 2021 inaugural shows. Exciting to see. This was last Wednesday. And, you know, what also happens that Wednesday was the teardown of our nation's capital. It was an event to see. Unfortunately, it was something that we did not want to see. A lot of people are, really was just struggling through that entire day of what are we viewing this? Why are we viewing this? And, it happened to come on a day why we are ready to enjoy another night of wrestling shows by our two favorite companies. So the article takes a look at the viewership and notice that the numbers dropped some for both. Now, AEW took a massive drop because, of course, the week before that was the Brody Lee tribute. So they took a very huge beat on that. And then NXT, they gained a few viewers there, but still the count overall was just low for wrestling. And you know, what it comes down to is, hey, where did people go? What was on people's mind during this particular situation that it happened? The writer here actually says, hey, you know, speaking for myself, I had no interest in watching AEW last night because I only wanted to know what was going on in Washington, D.C. If writing about AEW during Dynamite wasn't part of my job, there's no way I would have watched the show live last night because there was far more important things going on. So, fellas, I come to you here, and I let either one of you, I got three good questions, so whichever one you want to take here. Here's the first one. Why do you feel that many other wrestling fans just decided not to watch NXT or AEW live this past Wednesday night, knowing what happened?
I'll actually go ahead and take that
one. Sure.
It's in the article that you linked. It actually does do a great job and gives us a numerical breakdown of every single show, for each brand in 2020.
Yeah.
I think the thing that is very telltale is that, yes, AEW dropped from 977,000 to 662,000. But if you look at the demographic numbers, in the 18 to 49 demographic, there were .4 for the December 30th episode and .25 in the January 6th episode.
Yeah.
This is actually not out of the ordinary for AEW viewers to be watching something larger. Whenever there's anything more at stake, if there's any sort of a geopolitical event, mm-hmm. Anything that is more bigger picture, the AEW viewing audience tends to prioritize news coverage of that over AEW Dynamite, more so than NXT viewers. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can say what you will about, you know, the audiences being different, but if we look at the numbers and we just compare facts, whenever there's anything that's going on, AEW takes more of a hit. But it did definitely suck for both brands on Wednesday.
Let me ask you, I'll just go to you, Simon Street, on this one. Can one argue that watching wrestling is one way to just sort of depress all the craziness that sort of we're living in the moment? Would you say that would be, or was it, or just what was happening was just too great to not pay attention to that?
Well, I'm glad you narrowed it down to what happened this past Wednesday. I will tell you, not taking the fact that this happened in real life, and it is definitely will be an historical event, and the outcome of it will change things for a very long time. I'll say, outside of that, if you look at it from what storytelling is, I think if any reason why people watched that day is because of the buildup. The buildup was looming before COVID. Then COVID hit. Then stuff was happening during COVID. And there's little incidences that are tied to it. Then we have the protests. Then we have more things. And you begin to see people, you know, write things like, oh, civil war is coming and whatnot. You know, these are people just walk about in life who are kind of looking into this like, man, this is insatiable. You know, the news, could this really happen? So I think whenever we saw it, the way it was filmed, the Capitol being, you know, stormed the way it was and the way it presented, I could see where most people would put the pause button on that night and be like, you know what, normally I would watch wrestling, but this, I just don't know what the heck's going to happen. Is this really happening? Because mm-hmm. for most of us, when we saw it in the, I think it started early in the morning, what, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock for us, mm-hmm. we're at first like, what the hell? I mean, is this really happening? I mean, and then you just kind of, you're at a waiting game until what was the resolution finally came, what, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, I think it was reported then. You know, I do believe, and the reason why I had to go and preface what I said before leading up to it, a lot of people wondered if this was the domino that could push. Because at least it was presented that way that it could be, like, huge. Whether you find this to be true or not, I'm just saying. Okay. So hopefully I answered that as the best possible way I can.
Okay. I mean, the question was, can you one argue that watching wrestling is one way to depress all the craziness that we're living at this moment? But
Not that day.
Okay, hell all right. No. All right, that's fine. Let me ask you this, Matt Michaels, and you may even want to add a little bit something outside of this question. I just wanted to think of something out of the ordinary, but you may want to speak a little bit more about Wednesday. But let's say, some say that the WWE faction revolution was created from the protest that was happening this summer. And if that's true, do you think that Vince McMahon would create some sort of a faction after what happened this past Wednesday?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
No. Because Retribution's basically doing nothing anyway. So, I don't know. What are you going to do? Have Retribution storm Vince's office or something? I think it has no real equivalency.
No doubt.
What I find interesting is that this guy, his writer is absolutely his real name, Kane A. Knight. Absolutely.
No, that's his name? Absolutely?
No, Kane A. Knight. That's absolutely
his name. Oh, okay, gotcha.
What I find interesting is, so he used the word here, news coverage of yesterday's attack at the United States Capitol building likely accounts for a big chunk of the wrestling fans who chose to watch something besides AEW or NXT last night. And then he goes to recant what exactly happened earlier in the day mm-hmm. with the Capitol. And then he ends up putting all the breakdown of the 18 to 49, all those numbers. So KNA Knight definitely gets paid by character, because there's a lot of shit in here that just doesn't, like, who fucking cares? And overall, too, those overall numbers, you're making a point about this night. Who cares? It's not regarding the overall. But the biggest factor to me on this is simple. The number that NXT did was 641,000, which is within that 10% or so range that they either, you know, get a little lower, a little higher. They're always around that number. The Dynamite going back down to 662, that's not because of the Capitol. That's because last week was a show dedicated to a guy who died. That got a lot of attention. More people are going to check that out. It wasn't necessarily because people were watching the news. You know, that it's pure fact. This number dropped because of the fact that last week.
But that number, if I'm not mistaken, that number was still lower than their average number. What did they get, 661 or so? They normally average somewhere over the 700, sometimes close to 8. So they did lose what they normally.
But that's within the whole running this whole time. They've been in between 600,000 and 800,000. I mean, that's their typical averages, somewhere in that faction. So even if you say 700,000 is their average, that's only down a handful of people. So my point here is, to him, mm-hmm. he would rather have been seeing what's going on and following the news. But because he has to do this, he's doing it. Well, you know what, dude? Then fucking quit your job and become a journalist. Simple. To me, the fact of the matter is listen, tensions were high. Things were very, very, uncertain. Things were crazy and whatnot. And you know what? Sometimes I think that he took the opposite. I want it more. I think that sometimes you got to figure that people want more of an escape. So it's surprising numbers didn't go up for that reason. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying that both numbers are within the same ballpark that they usually are. And I think he just made this article because that was his feeling. And the big word here is likely. He didn't do a poll. He didn't try to figure out, you know, by asking fans to email him in or anything like that. He just used likely. Well, there's a chance that I likely will have something to eat as soon as we're done doing this.
Well, I get what you're saying, but I think what he was trying to do to back himself up, that's the reason why he put so many of the ratings for each show, NXT and AEW, for the year or whatever the case, so he can show that, you know, I'm not just picking these numbers out of the last 2 or 3 weeks. This is really showing that the numbers were truly down for both shows, just from you scanning up and, you know, scrolling up and seeing, well, yeah, it does look like there was some viewers that just stepped out for whatever reason. So who knows, you know, but I think that's how he was trying to make his point, by throwing all that data there and to say, hey, you know, the numbers dropped from both. But who knows, you know, maybe it was something else that grabbed people's attention outside of that. Let's jump right over into our second count, unless you want to add to that.
I just added.
You just added?
Yeah, take a look at your name.
Take a look at what? Oh.
TJ Knight.
You're funny. All right.
How much do you get paid by these guys, by the way, to just have them mentioned on the show?
What, the guys we just...
Yeah, how much did Kane A. Knight pay you to use his article today?
Boy, I hope he does. I hope he does pay me, please. Let's go to our second account. That's from WrestlingNews.co, titled WWE is apparently not happy about Mustafa Ali's comments about Hulk Hogan and other legends taking spots away from the current stars. This is apparently what he said. I am not bewildered. I know exactly that the generation before me paved the way. But when the hell are you going to let me walk on that path? Guys like Drew Gulak, Akira Tozawa, myself, all the retribution, not on the show. Why? Because we need to hear what you're going to do, brother, again for the 7th millionth time. And then Charlie Caruso said that the legends got cheered, but Ali pointed out that the cheers are in the Thunderdome or piped in. They pumped him in really good for them, huh? They were cheering. I'm sure they were. Damn. He added, why don't you give us a chance? People that contribute to this business and further this company. But no, let's push them all aside and give these 3 hours to people that can barely walk. Damn. And then Caruso said that those legends can't walk because they put their bodies on the line for the fans. Okay. And of course, it just went on from that. The author of this article did say that the clip has been all over social media accounts, and that could be an indication that this is just a worked shoot. So more than likely, hey, it is, but let's entertain it because it's a story. Let's go with it. Anybody agree with the comments of Mustafa Ali and what he said?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unequivocally, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Although I definitely think that it is 1,000% work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got the clips posted to the WWE main branded social media.
The Twitter, too. They got them on their official Twitter.
If they were upset about anything he said, that then they wouldn't have those clips posted on their social media, on their main branded social media accounts.
Sure.
So I definitely see them just trying to use this as an excuse to feed the kind of like a CM Punk type of a vibe, or like he had a pipe bomb promo, blah blah blah, kind of a thing. I agree with what he said. Mm-hmm. And let's be real. We all know that Vince McMahon is the show is written for one man and one man only, and that's Vince. So nothing sees the airwaves that he doesn't clear.
Right.
So yeah, it's 1,000%
work. Let me ask you this. Simon Street, let's assume this wasn't a work shoot, right? And WWE silenced him for some time. What would he have said, you would think, that would have made them angry? What in that he just said that you know, they really did silence him. This was not a shoot. What did he say that would have pissed off WWE, you think?
I mean, I would have said him saying something to the effect of they pipe in noise.
Right.
Like WWE hates when you point out strings on the visible puppeteer.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
That would have probably pissed Vince the fuck off.
Yeah.
I could have just burned his ass. He said what? Cut his mic off.
Right.
Charlie, tell him something about the bodies on the line. Some shit. It's just ridiculous to me. That part. I even felt like for what it was cool, but he didn't have to say it was all piped in. Like to me, I felt like it wasn't needed. Like why we talk about, we all fucking know it's piped in. Motherfuckers ain't talking through TVs like that.
Yeah.
No. I was going to say, with Steve saying 100% work. My question is okay, great. Who the fuck y'all adding to Retribution? Are y'all keeping the masks on? Are y'all actually going to win? Or are y'all just going to keep going after fucking Ricochet? Because I'm fucking bored.
Let me ask you, Matt Michaels. I mean, let me straight out question to you. I mean, do you enjoy Legends Night? And why you, and why, before you even answer that, I mean, why do Legends Night on a Monday Night Raw? Would you think it would work great if it was just some show separately, maybe for the network, that they could put for Legends Night? Or you, you know, it's appropriate for it to have its one night on Raw. But why, I mean, do you enjoy it?
I really actually don't find it either way. Like, you know, to me, it's okay. We know that when you talk about a Legends Night now, for the most part, you're not going to see much in-ring performance from the actual Legends, right?
Right.
So, and they don't really do much of anything to, you know, incorporate the Legends, you know, in terms of how they're utilized. You have them show up in a couple of backstage segments, and really that's about it. And then you have Goldberg, apparently, when he came out, was supposed to set up an angle, and somehow the allegedly the lines got lost. So there was supposed to be a little something more to that. But other than that, what is the dead giveaway to me that this is totally bogus outside of the pumped, you know, fan noise and, you know, the way it was utilized is the Ali saying 3 hours for guys that can barely walk. Well, they didn't take any fucking time. They didn't. I mean, literally, if you added up the backstage segments and stuff, you can say that they probably took maybe 10 minutes off the show. It really wasn't a Legends Night, really, other than they were there and really were out there for the last segments, more so than anything else. What I mean, the, and you know, actually, one of the things that, thinking back to Wrestling Talk, if you didn't listen yesterday to the podcast catch up, but we didn't even bring up Ric Flair and Charlotte. I totally forgot. Which absolutely to me was you know, the highlight of the Legends Night. Was Ric Flair getting his ass handed to him by his daughter.
Right.
I bet that wasn't exciting. Like Rick was kind of looking at, oh, girl, like, you know, girl, let me pop a pill. Let me show you what I'm working with. You know, I'd be jumping and shit. You didn't watch Raw, did you?
Did you just suggest that Ric Flair is going to fuck his daughter?
I didn't say his daughter.
But that's who we were just talking about, the conflict.
I was not talking about Charlotte. I was talking about the other blonde. Well, actually, was there more than one blonde? I think there might have been. No, it was just that blonde.
Big question if I watched Raw, apparently.
No, I was talking about Lacey.
Oh. Anyway.
It was only part of the match.
Well, apparently the part you focused on was Rick's.
Hello. No, that was Lacey. She did a good job. Anyways.
So I you know what? Again, I think that I look at this and I go, Mr. Paul Davis wrote an article here for wrestlingnews.co. Okay. Good for you, Paul. You got your paycheck. You can forward me about $3.50 for actually having to talk about this and read it, because your headline is WWE is apparently not happy about Mustafa Ali's comments about Hulk Hogan, blah, blah, blah. And then you go on to say that it was, you know, essentially you can check out the clip below via WWE's official Twitter account. And then since the clip is all over their social media accounts, that could be an indication that this is just a work shoot. Mr. Paul Davis, it is an indication, and your headline is bullshit to get people to click onto it to fucking read it. Fuck you for doing shit like this, because you have absolutely no credibility when it comes to journalism. I will give Mr. Knight that we just talked about a pass where he wants to be a journalist. You want to be someone who fucking just gets hits so you get more money. Thank you, Mr. Dave.
You know what's so scary about Matt Michaels and how he just butchers the shit out and de-dresses these authors? I always wonder, is this what my college professors probably fucking do when they have to turn in papers? They're reading their shit and you're like, fuck you. I just wasted 5 fucking minutes of my life. Good day. Your Rubik's is 0, bitch. You got a fucking 40%. Like, I could just imagine you being the professor. This shit is hilarious.
Well, let's go to our...
You never saw what my professors actually did to me.
Oh, shit.
That I sat in class.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Let's just say that my schoolwork was credibly to pass, but my words were very close to expulsion.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't hold it back, man. When you see stuff like this, what really gets me mad is the fact that here we are and we're just talking about it as fans, right? And we're using just a little bit of what we've experienced in our lives and our professions, whatever, to look at things and dissect them just a little bit. This person is actually getting paid fucking money to do this. If you can, anyone out there, if you know of a website that wants me to put out shit like this and will pay me to do it, please forward me the information. I will gladly take their money to fucking look at the WWE's website and just repost it with a different headline that will get you suckered in. Please.
Gotcha. Let's go over to our third count. This one is from GiveMeSport.com. And it is titled WWE News, the 50 Coolest Pro Wrestling Moves Named and Ranked. So he goes, we got all 50 names and names ranked. Let me just start from top 5 and go down, and then you guys just kind of tell me, do you agree with anything on this list from how they're listed, and would you rearrange anything? Number 5 was Bret Hart's The Sharpshooter. Number 4, Undertaker's Tombstone. Number 3, Stone Cold Steve Austin's Stunner. Number 2, Evan Bourne's Airborne. And number 1, Jake the Snake Roberts' DDT. He lists 50 there, guys. 50 coolest pro wrestling moves named and ranked. And he ranked those as the top 5, but we got 50 of them. What would you say?
He didn't.
WWE, he didn't. Yes. I'm sorry.
And let me point that out before we even talk about it. Now, I will give Oliver Browning credit here because he specifically says, after you read the whole list, he does point out, that a couple of moves were left off. I'll talk about that when I get to it. But if you're upset, take up these omissions with WWE.
Right.
Brilliant. That's a guy who is literally saying, hey, man, we just got this from their site. Don't blame us. It's an interesting list. I would have put maybe one or two things on. That is how you do it. Thank you, Mr. Browning, for actually being someone I don't have to fucking rant on.
What are you giving him for his paper?
He gets a C+.
Okay. He's moving up.
Yeah. I'll just go into it. I think that the list is one sporadically weird list. That brought up some moves as closers, like the Undertaker's old school.
Yeah, that's not a finisher.
Like, as a finisher? Really? So you brought up the tombstone, but you didn't bring up the last ride or his choke slam or something like that. I think the only thing, Evan Bourne being at number two is like, what? Are you fucking kidding me? Also DDT, because of how it's been used now, I think that falls down a few notches for me. I absolutely agree with him that the pedigree and the diamond cutter should be on this list. Those are bad omissions. I also personally, from other things that I would replace on this list, to put something else on, I won't tell you what I'd replace because I don't have a list in front of me this very second, but I'd maybe put on something like King Kong Bundy's splash, or Vader's, the Vader bomb or something like that, the bonsai drop or something like that for a bigger man. But definitely, I don't see how Stone Cold Stunner is not number one.
Yeah.
Period.
Thank you.
I agree.
Thank you for saying that.
All right. Who want to take it next? Boom.
Other than agreeing with Michaels on mostly what he said, there's a couple that I would have moved down the list. Maybe it's just me, but Razor's Edge should have been a little bit closer to it than 13. I think they had it as Scott Hall's Razor's Edge 13.
Yep.
I'd have put it in the top 10 easily. Maybe for me, nine. Nine stands out in my mind. I remember being a kid seeing that move, and that was the first fucking move I wanted to do to my little sister.
And let's just put out a good fact on that move, that motherfucker did it to you guys like the Giant. Think about putting the Big Show up there and having to do. Oh my God, man! Yeah, you're absolutely right. That needs to be higher.
Yeah, like come on, 13, really? and then this is where I would have put Evan Bourne's Airborne, although it's cute. I wouldn't have put it at two. I honestly would have put it at seven.
Wait, now was he doing that in the WWE or is he doing it in AEW? Because if he's doing it in AEW, I'll probably put it about number two.
Damn.
I'm glad you caught that.
If we're categorizing the AEW in it, it would miss the list.
Well, because it's not WWE, so you know. I mean, I wish Impact would ask us what move that's not WWE would you put on this list?
Oh shit!
I mean, if you want to take over, you can. It's all good.
No, but I want you to ask me what would you put on here that's not a WWE list? Because as I started reading it, at first I was like, "Fuck, y'all ain't got this," and then I read toward the end, like, "Oh yeah, okay."
All right, let me come back to that. Let me get to Sin City because I'm on a time restraint, and I don't want to get in trouble by my producers for going way over. So let's take care of the show first. Sin City, what's your take?
All right, man. So yeah, the pedigree not being on this list is an absolute travesty. Pedigree is easy top five finish of all time, just because, quite frankly, it was so protected from the beginning. And it's an amazing looking move. It's devastating. I'll be honest, it's probably top three for me. Stunner's number one. I would put Taker's tombstone at two, and then I would put pedigree at three. It really does suck to see how things like Jake's DDT have transitioned into being a transitional move in a match. Like it doesn't do anything anymore. Anybody gets hit with a DDT, it's maybe a two count if you're lucky. Generally speaking, someone hits a DDT as a desperation move right before they start their comeback, and it doesn't even get a pinfall attempt.
Right.
It's disgusting, but I mean, that's the way that things have evolved. I do like what Moxley has done, actually. And I know AEW, but I like what Moxley has done with having, his finish, the Death Rider, being an elevated DDT. I think that is essentially taking that move, revitalizing it. And I know that this is strictly WWE, but I'm going to go ahead and answer your question. That is the move that should be on this list that's not done by a WWE superstar. And that would be the Death Rider by Moxley.
I also, I don't know. I don't have it up. Was the figure four, was Ric Flair's figure four on that list?
I don't remember seeing it.
Believe it or not, no.
And that should be on it.
Ric Flair, get this though. Ric Flair's figure four is not on the list, but at 27 is the Bret Hart ring post figure four.
Right. Mm. You know, and I get Sharpshooter. Great. Yeah. Sharpshooter's probably top 10. That's fine. But even putting Malenko's Cloverleaf on there, it's just like, what?
Even like Eddie's Three Guerreros. That's not a move. I mean, it's not a finisher move.
Well, wait. Well, you guys, wait up. It didn't necessarily say finisher. It just said the coolest pro wrestling moves named and ranked. So they don't have. So they don't have to be finishers. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. In Oliver Browning's defense, it does say WWE News the 50 quote unquote coolest pro wrestling moves named and ranked.
Right.
Well, then that kind of sucks because then there's a whole bunch of other moves.
Oh, yeah.
that I would really put on as WWE, like Styles Clash.
Without question.
I'm just saying that has to be on the list. I wouldn't say top 10, but I would definitely say top 15. What else? You're right.
So that's the reason why you guys have those other moves on there as are not finishers. But go ahead.
Yeah, and it does say we're not just talking finishers either. So as I read this, I misread that thinking it was finishers. At the same time, some of this stuff, like again, Malenko's Texas Cloverleaf, really? So that's going to be on there, but Flair's figure four is not?
Yeah.
Or Arn Anderson's Spinebuster too. It's like, yeah, that was a good move, but I don't know. One of the things I was disappointed that they didn't do is they didn't put finishers going back to finishers like tag team finishers. So the Road Warriors, that clothesline off the top rope, or even the Heart Foundations. I mean, that shit was cool moves. So, and I can't believe Giant Gonzalez didn't make the list. Surprised.
Oh, Michael.
Anybody else want to add to that before we say our goodbyes?
I just want to add one. If this wasn't a WWE list of the coolest moves, I would say one move that would be for sure, I would put it at number 7.
Okay.
Petey Williams, Canadian Destroyer.
Okay.
That is one of the most coolest fucking moves. I thought that back in, 2005, 2006, when he fucking did it, TNA, and I still feel like that today. I'd put that at my lucky number 7 on this list, if it wasn't just WWE.
I got you. All right.
Specifically, Petey Williams.
Specifically.
You know, it was interesting, too, is they used, they used Kane's chokeslam, not Undertaker's. Not Diesel's, which is surprising. Yeah.
Diesel's was really good too.
Yeah.
You know, whoever wrote this
list from WWE.
Yeah. It just seems like they really just kind of threw together just kind of a list that they felt like was, you know, hey, we'll just fill this space again. It just feels like space filling writing. When if you take a really hard look at some consideration, I think there were a lot of things. Like they even put that Muda's missed. Like, is that a move? Or because if you're saying that, I could say, well, the Undertaker burying someone alive was a pretty good move.
Right.
You know, Fuji, Mr. Fuji used to throw the fucking salt. The mist became popular.
So. Yeah. I remember he had the salt and shit. Yeah. Or Andre the Giant farting on people in the ring. I mean, it wasn't a real move, but there's been documentaries about people saying he would do that shit on purpose. That's fucked up.
Guys, just stand by me and understand that he literally just said there have been documentaries made about just
I was saying they had it.
Multiple.
Oh, it's particular to what I said. Okay.
Well, gentlemen, look.
Derek has said that.
That is our three count. Thank you guys for participating in the our topics today. And what we're going to start doing is for you all that are listening, somehow maybe start to link some of these articles out for you, just in case you want to take a look at it. You may want to comment on it as well, and then we can also comment on our social media with what you have to say about it, and we can keep the discussion going. So we'll look to do that as well. But we thank you for listening to us tonight. Our final thoughts for the week. It's always good to start off with our very own Simon Street. What you want to tell the folks out there?
Man, what I don't want to tell y'all. Look, it's real simple. Okay. There's one thing I am. I'm an American. I love my country. And at the end of the day, I ain't making this political. But if you break into my house and I don't shoot you, you better hope your ass seek justice. So all I'm going to say is, what about them charges? And for everybody to let that be an example, don't tread on American buildings. It's stupid. That's all I'm going to say. I'm very serious when I say that.
All right. It's coming from the heart. Let's go over to you, Sin City Steve. What you want to tell the people?
Thank you guys for hanging out with us in the chat. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, and commenting. We do this stuff for you, so thank you so much. Special shout out to all of our extremely courageous men and women serving this country, both on lands, foreign and domestic. Simon, I think that you hit the nail on the head right there. Anything to do with government property, government buildings, those should be treated as sacred ground regardless. And that there are some lines that you just don't cross for any reason. So,
yeah,
it's one of those things that, we're going to see how our country responds from this. And I just, I hope everybody, you know, just hug your loved ones. Make sure that everything is good. Maybe reach out to somebody that you haven't talked to in a while and just see how they're doing, because everybody's everybody seemingly is, the tensions are at an all-time high right now. So maybe take that 2 minutes out of your life. Just check on somebody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good job, man. And especially also, we can't forget, I know we sometimes forget, but this COVID is still just ravaging, and just hearing the numbers, I mean, we're up to, you know, getting close to 4,000 a day. That's just, I don't even understand that. But Matt Michaels, what you want to tell the people, man?
If you think that having a microphone and a platform and having people listen to you and do what you ask them to do is the thing for you, then please go ahead and order us some pizza on Sunday nights. Anyone, you know, you can have, you know, four different people. You can order for each of us here. That's totally cool, man. I just think that sometimes, there's just so much infighting amongst Domino's and Pizza Hut and Papa John's and, you know, Marco's or some local, that I think sometimes Little Caesar, sometimes you just gotta just listen to what a person's saying and order the pizza, one from each company to each of us. We'll gladly eat it on the air and mention your name and thank you, quite pleasantly. Yeah. And, I myself, I like the old mushroom and sausage. I like the sausage. I have no problem admitting it. Chew on that for a while, if you will. I know that, some people like pineapple. I don't know if pineapple's a good thing. We still have a debate going on about this pineapple thing on pizzas. And again, to prove that pineapple is or isn't a good thing.
Hey, the producers are yelling at me right now. I've got in the show, man. I thank you, Matt Michaels.
But anyway, so the pizza.
I don't want to get yelled. I don't want to lose my position. Please.
Your position or your position?
Go ahead, Matt, please.
No, I mean, in all honesty, King Lucky likes pineapple pizza, so get him one. I'll do mushroom and sausage. Mm-hmm. Steve is just a plain cheese guy. All right, we know that. Simon likes it a little spicy, so jalapenos and pepperoni. All right. Mm-hmm. And DJ Impact, he's one of them guys that just likes garbage pizza. So, like, just get him everything.
I thought you were going to say he likes his crust stuff.
Pepperoni and sausage would do. That'll do right there.
There you go. So pepperoni and bacon. Take care of us. That's one way you can do it. And I encourage the people of this nation to come together and get us some pizza.
Absolutely. Do your duty. All right. With that, we will see you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.